All right. Here we go. Another edition of Talking Dodgers brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media. This episode is sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit commandcreativestudios.com. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Here's what's on deck on this player's spotlight. We got Yamamoto and Flaherty swap starting positions. What do we think about that? Are the Padres afraid of the Dodger fans? They're limiting people that can actually go see their games over there. The ultimate Dodger playoff preview. And we're going to break down the playoff roster and see how the Dodgers and Padres stack up against the opponent's pitching. Mike.
We're in the playoffs, baby.
We're in the playoffs.
Baseball.
Max.
Let's go Dodgers.
Max is out of the jacuzzi. He is dried off, and he has now joined us for this podcast.
Welcome to the excited. Number one seed in a winner's circle, Max. We're going to show the National League how it's done. Bro, I'm pumped for this series.
That's nice. I'm already in the World Series, so I'll wait for y'all.
Yeah, he is. Nobody to stop the Yankees now. They're going to go all the way. Which is unfortunate because the Dodgers, for some reason, now have to fight for everything going forth. And I'll tell you right
Much
now,
harder.
I don't think I've ever felt more passionate about them needing to reseed after they do.
Yeah.
It just makes more sense. I feel like the Dodgers, anybody who gets the number one seed or even the number two seed, it's not really beneficial for them unless the team's fighting in the playoff bracket or on the wild card bracket, at least go all three games. And I feel like also they shouldn't even have a day off in between.
Yeah. They should have started this series today.
Yeah. They should just go directly into it. Like, hey, you had to get in a wild card spot. Yeah. You didn't get one or two. You have to basically, you just go, you know what I mean?
And Thursday's the last is game three, Friday, game one.
Right.
Ready to go.
And so now, since we're not reseeding, the Dodgers now, in my opinion, have to play the second best team in the National League, which is the Padres.
And then the next round, you're either playing Philly, who's been solid all year, or the red hot Mets.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
That's
not an easy path.
I mean,
we got to work it out for us.
If you'd have told me before the start of the ninth inning during the Mets Brewers game that the Mets were still going to, that the Mets are going to advance, I wouldn't have believed it. So
yeah, but they've been clutch all year. Like they come. I mean, I was watching one game that, I think it was the Blue Jays had a pitcher, you know, pitching a no-hitter or a perfect game or whatever, and then Lindor hits a home run to break up the poor guy's thing in, like, the bottom of the ninth inning.
Right.
And then, again, the play-in game, same thing. They were on the verge, right? The Braves were about to bury them, and again, boom. Bottom of the ninth, they come through again, and you saw what happened against Milwaukee. So it's going to be a tough path for the Dodgers, but I still think they can do it. Even though I picked Philly to go to the World Series in the in spring training.
Well, let's hope you're wrong.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong too. But yeah, speaking of Phillies, I mean, we'll say I have a soft spot for Bryce Harper.
Where is it located?
My left temple.
Okay.
No, well, just baseball wise, I was real critical of him as a professional baseball player when he's in the Nationals, and then. When he got to the Phillies, I feel like he grew up a lot. So, like, I find myself rooting for him. And if the Dodgers aren't going to win a title, I wouldn't mind seeing Harper get one. He was the prodigy of baseball forever. So, I'd like to see him do well. But, again, I mean, we want the Dodgers to win a World Series.
Here's the thing. Like, Bryce Harper is the kind of guy that you don't like him when he's not on your team. But if he was on your team, you would love him.
Absolutely.
He just seems like a really, like, an ultimate jerk. In my opinion,
but he's a
gamer, and in his jerkness is his passion for the game. Unlike Machado, just seems like a jerk in general, and he's a dirty player.
We're taking shots at the Padres already.
Yeah, I've been taking shots at Machado.
Machado is taking strays here.
I'll say it.
He's getting strays.
Look, yeah, I actually liked Machado until he became a Dodger. When he became a Dodger, that's when I actually stopped liking him. Because I saw how he actually played baseball, and that kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah, you want to talk
but
about
the way
Machado?
Bryce Harper plays, yeah. I would love, like, that. He plays with passion, that grit you're always talking about, Mike. Like,
absolutely.
He puts his emotions on his shoulders, and he plays 100% all the time. If you had to pick a player that just, like, the passion for the game,
yeah,
to compete? Like
locked in, compete, agreed.
But did it have that same grit as, say, like Pete Rose? I'm not saying they're the same. I don't think they play the same way. But he plays with the passion. If you could still bulldoze over people, Harper would be bulldozing over people.
I can see the similarities between the way Bryce Harper plays and, I wouldn't compare him to the Hit King identically, but that generation of player that played with heart and passion,
plays hard. Yeah,
I see it. And Harper's always locked in. He's all business when he's between the stripes. But that being said, back to our Dodgers. Ohtani's going to lead us to the promised land. He said today he's not nervous or worried about the playoffs.
Yep.
What's he supposed to say? Oh man, I'm shaking in my boots. Hey, no, I think the way that he's played the last like month, 2 months with the Dodgers, and how he performed in the series against the Padres, which before that series, he had never been in a series, at least in Major League Baseball, that was that important with the Angels. It had never happened yet. So that was basically a playoff game, or the playoff series was against the Padres already, and he performed in that. So I have full confidence he's going to show up. And
I don't think the spotlight's going to be too big for him. I don't think it matters. I don't think it affects him. Yeah. But at the same time, in Japan, they had huge stadiums and huge crowds there, right? Like,
yeah, we're talking major. I'm not saying he's never been in a situation like this before. I'm saying this is the first time in Major League Baseball, like here, that he's had that he's been there. All right, so let's jump into our first topic. Yamamoto and Flaherty swap starts. What do we think about this? So I'm going to read something. So prepare yourself, Mike, because it's going to happen. All right. So according to an article on Dodgers.com, in a surprise move before the Dodgers workout Thursday, President of Baseball Operations Andrew Freeman announced a switch in the starting rotation for the National League Division Series against the Padres. Right-hander Jack Flaherty was scheduled to pitch Game 1 on Saturday, with righty Yoshinobu Yamamoto set to take the bump in Game 2 on Sunday. Instead, the Dodgers will go with Yamamoto for the series opener, with Flaherty going on Sunday. He said the main factor behind the decision, according to Freeman, was because of performance. Instead, it was because pitching Yamamoto in Game 1 makes him available for a potential Game 5 in the best-of-five series. So I'm done reading now. So this seems like it's like kind of fishy to me, because if you look at Yamamoto's stats against the Padres, it doesn't necessarily seem like that's the guy that I want to throw in if I need him for Game 5. You know what I mean? So if I go look at the stats for the first game, which we all know what happened in the first game, he went one inning, he gave up 4 hits, 5 earned runs, walked 1, 2 Ks, threw 43 pitches in one inning. Second time he went up against him, which was on April 12th,
yeah.
5 innings pitch, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 home runs, 6 Ks, 91 pitches. So that's a better performance for sure.
Yeah.
That is better, but at the same time, would I be moving people around to make it so he's available for the fifth start? It makes me feel like all they're really concerned about is making sure Flaherty can actually pitch a game. You know what I mean? So they talked about his wear and tear. They talked about earlier that how they made some adjustments to his mechanics, and so now he's throwing faster again. But did they overuse him in the regular season? So now he's kind of a wash now?
I think he needs... Well, you mentioned it last couple of podcasts that Flaherty seemed to drop off a little bit towards the end of the season. He's been our most consistent starter since we acquired him. Everybody else has been in and out of injuries.
Yeah.
I think the thought process with this is he needs a little bit more rest going into the series against the Padres. But the other thing is, my thought process is I think Game 2 is a bigger must-win than Game 1 is, because you could drop Game 1 and be down 1-0. You go down 2-0 in Game 2, in a Game 3, it's a problem. I think
I would
always pitch my number one guy in Game 2 over Game 1.
See, I feel like Game 1 sets the tone, though, right?
But if your number one starter, if your number one guy loses Game 1, and then the challenge we have is we have so many injuries in our rotation right now. We don't have an elite level pitching rotation. Everybody's hurt. We can't afford to drop our number one starter to drop Game 1. Then if Yamamoto hits, pitches like he did on, February the 21st in Game 2, now we're down 2-0 and we get smoked. Momentum's on their side going into Game 3. I think you hope Yamamoto plays a solid game and we win Game 1. Flaherty goes in, you win Game 2, you're up 2-0.
I mean, I
think it's more important for the Game 2 win than it is Game 1.
I hear you. And I mean, to Robbie's thing, it's very weird that they, because if you look at it who has pitched the best historically versus the Padres, it's Walker Buehler. He's 6-1 with a 1.8 ERA, 79 strikeouts in 12 appearances against the Padres over his career. And even just last week, he pitched extremely well against the Padres in that game that, you know, we thought he didn't strike out a lot of people, but he controlled, he did pretty well. And that he controlled the game, and that's pretty much a playoff game. So if you're going to go through based on historical numbers, who do you trust? And Buehler, that's not the only team that he's done extremely well on, especially in the playoffs. He's proven to be really clutch in the playoffs. Like, Yamamoto is a little surprising because he hasn't had, you know, it's a small sample size, but he hasn't had, like, an obvious, you know, success against the Padres lineup. You know, I would think if you were going to go that route, it would be Buehler, number one, especially if Flaherty is compromised, well, as you suggest.
The other side of it is, for me, if you play it out, I don't know if I'd want Yamamoto or any other rookie pitching game two and game three, depending on how game one comes out.
No.
It seems to me if you're down 1-0, you feel a bunch of pressure to win game two. When Yamamoto pitches game one, there's no pressure. It's the first game of the series. So, then you got Flaherty, who's a veteran, and then Buehler in two and three. So no matter what the outcome is of game one, I feel like those two pitchers on two and three
can cover
the stress or pressure if we were down 0-1 in the series.
All right, so hold on. So you just basically touched on an issue that's going to come up then. It could come up. So now you took Flaherty, and you moved Flaherty to your two spot, right? So let's say now you're in a must-win game four. Now you're throwing in Knack, okay? Yamamoto does not go on short rest. He can't do it.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So now
turns into a bullpen game.
So now Flaherty is, so if you start Flaherty, that at least gives you an option to then have Flaherty go on. I think Flaherty could do a game four. I don't think Yamamoto could do a game four. So I think you just kind of, that's why I keep going back to, I think this is not necessarily a move for Yamamoto. I think this is a move for Flaherty, and they don't want to come out and say it. Unless they did and I missed it somewhere.
To protect him?
I think it's because he needs an extra day.
An extra day.
I think it's for him because he needs the extra day.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I think
he needs the rest too, but I also think it'll help. I think it'll help the matchups based on what happens in game one.
I just hope this isn't another dead arm thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about it. He's the only guy that's gone 5-plus innings since the All-Star break when we acquired him.
Consistently. I think he did have one game he went four, but
yeah,
but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
He was our workhorse leading into playoffs. You needed him to be fresh and dominant.
I know what you're saying. All right.
But with that being said, our boy Yamamoto is going to shut down those Padres. I got faith.
Look, I hope Yamamoto comes in
and he pitches big.
He pitches the way he pitched against the Yankees and just basically makes them just eat that fastball, eat that splitter. Whatever he's throwing at him, just can't hit it.
Well, you know, the Padres don't really strike out, so it's, you know, getting them to hit it where your defenders are.
I'm fine with soft contact.
Soft contact, that's what you want.
We went out to win. I don't care how you get that win.
In the playoffs, it's not about stats and trying to win Cy Youngs. It's just getting outs, you know?
Yeah.
Just get outs.
All right. I think that's enough for that topic. Please don't forget.
Let's go, Dodgers.
Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Don't forget, we're also on YouTube. Go check out our YouTube page at Rot Your Brain Media.
And we're on Instagram, TikTok.
Yep. But if you want to see our pretty faces.
Facebook, I think, right? What else? What else, Max?
We're on everything.
Oh, X. We're on X?
Sure.
We got some pretty good reels?
Sure.
Follow us. Spread it. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus. All right. Next topic. So the Padres, I seem like they're a little afraid of the Dodger fans. So here's a question for you. What's the best way to get out from under your big brother's shadow?
Beat him.
No, don't let him invite his friends to your party. So that's apparently what the Padres are doing right now. So they're restricting the availability for tickets for people in the Los Angeles County. Basically, if you live in Los Angeles County, unable to purchase a ticket to...
Isn't that discrimination? Someone should sue the Padres.
I think it's a little...
That's discrimination.
You know, they started that with hockey. You know that? Like,
that's Bush League, dude.
Like, teams would, like, overflow somebody else's arena, and they're like, oh, no, we're not gonna sell tickets. You know, they did that this year with the Rangers a lot. Like, with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not a far... it's not hard to get to Carolina from New York. So they were by, they had one game where basically they took over the arena, and then the next game they're like, we're doing this restriction. You cannot buy tickets if you're in, you know, New York zip codes and stuff like that.
It's funny.
So teams starting to do things like that.
How long has San Diego been good this last, like, you
they've
know.
Never been good. They're the Padres.
No. They've been a good team for the last times. 3 or 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Competitive.
Yeah.
So before that, though, I guarantee you ownership was loving the days that the Dodgers showed up, because that guaranteed that they were at least getting sellouts or people in the stadium.
Yeah.
Now that they actually have a team, a fan base, they're trying to basically push back. Well, good for them. Hopefully it doesn't matter much. I mean, Mike, I know you don't believe in the whole
Bush League.
You don't believe in the whole home field advantage kind of thing.
No, not really.
I think it does play a part.
How about last at bat? That's kind of big, man.
Yeah. Walk-offs? You don't get walk-offs when you're the visitor, dude.
I get it. I'm going to call up my friend Melissa. She's a big Padres fan.
Yeah.
And she says, we're not going to win this series. So this is a call out to Melissa. Ironically enough, she lives in Arizona, and she's a Padres fan. So to you and your husband, James, you guys are going down.
Let's hope so. All right.
Let's go, Dodgers.
Next topic. We're going to jump into the Dodger preview. We're going to preview the playoffs. We're going to see how the team stacks up. So right now we know who are, there's a couple questions still. So right now, Freddie Freeman's going to start,
but he's going to play.
They're saying that he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
But last I checked by the way, they were doing what we talked about. They were bringing in, AAA yep. players. Pitchers and stuff like that, and they were pitching against him. So Bobby Miller was up; he was pitching
because he stepped into Robbie's office.
Yeah, so they were seeing some stuff. Freddie Freeman did not play the field at all, and it looked like that. Max Muncy was taking some ground balls and stuff at first base, which I think is the first time he's done that since they acquired Freddie Freeman. So they're preparing for the worst.
I think that's a good idea, though.
I think they're preparing. I think Freddie Freeman's still going to start. I think the lineup is going to look the way we think it's going to look. They're preparing in case he tweaks it again, or if it, like, he ends up he can't play after a couple innings or something like that. So that way they can make the move. Because I feel like if he can't play, they will do. They've said it. Max Muncy will go to first, and then Kike Hernandez will go to third. Which defensively, that's a lot better than having Kike at first and Max Muncy at third, because I think Kike does still play a little bit of a better third base, and Max Muncy was,
in my opinion, range.
He was a gold glover at first base.
But you definitely want Freeman because he's had...
You definitely want Freeman for sure.
He's had some good success in small numbers against Cease, 3-for-9, 2 RBIs in 9 plate appearances against Cease. And then Darvish, your game 2 starter, he's had some good success there too. He's, where is it? I have it here.
I lost where we're at.
Freeman's 9-for-35, 2 home runs and 3 RBIs in 39 plate appearances against Darvish. So you kind of need that... Compared to some of the other guys in the lineup, that's pretty successful.
No, totally.
Versus those two guys. And then he's had you know, he hasn't seen King a lot, but he's had a little bit of success against King as well, who's going to be your game 3 starter. So you kind of need his bat in there. He's 2-for-10 versus King in just 11 plate appearances. So, you know, getting on base 3 times out of 11, that's pretty good because King has some nasty stuff.
Yeah,
so you kind of need that bat versus the first 3 pitchers you're going to face in the series. So
yeah,
well, he was taking grounders. If you follow us on Twitter, there's a little video of him taking some grounders at first. So that's a great sign.
Yeah, good. Check our Twitter account or X.
You want Freeman in that lineup.
No, totally.
Versus those 3 guys.
All right, so the lineup's looking, you know, Shohei leading off. Then you got Mookie Betts in right field. Freddie Freeman at first base. Teoscar Hernandez in left field. Max Muncy, third base, Will Smith catching, Gavin Lux playing second base, center field, Tommy Edmonds, shortstop, Miguel Rojas. Bench players, Austin Barnes, Kike Hernandez, Andy Pyes is going to make it for sure, I believe. And then the last, they're talking about either Kiermaier or Taylor, but I think Taylor's going to get it over Kiermaier.
Agreed.
I think the only way Kiermaier makes it is Freddie Freeman's out. Then you bring in Kiermaier for basically running purposes, you know, pitch running and stuff like that, maybe a defensive swap at the end. I think that's the only way Kiermaier makes it. If you see Kiermaier, it's going to be because he's cheerleading in the dugout. He'll be with the team, but I don't think he's going to actually be on the roster. The lineup, I think, will change a little bit. Obviously, if Freddie Freeman goes out, and then I don't think we need to go into that right now. We'll do like another episode later that can break that down. All the starters are righties, right? Darvish, King, and Cease, they're all right-handed pitchers, right, Max? I know Darvish is for sure. Pretty sure. So that means the lineup's basically going to stay the same. The only thing I can also see that they might do if Lux, if I think if Gavin Lux doesn't play a good game, like the first game, they might swap him out for Kike, maybe move some things around because Kike was on fire towards the end of the season. I saw a thing on his stats how like August, I think he was batting 280, but then in September, I think he was batting 303 or 304, something like that. And there's a whole thing on like when he got his eye surgery or when he got the glasses or whatever, how much better he's hitting the baseball. Gavin Lux kind of faltered towards the end, but he kind of started picking it back up a little bit. I could see them maybe doing a swap for them. But then also Miguel Rojas with his injury, he's still coming off of the left adductor tear. So I think if he reaggravates that, Tommy Edmonds goes to short. Maybe Kike goes to center. They'll move some things around. But well, I think Kike is the main piece that they're going to try to plug in.
Yeah, where they
in
can.
A spot if they can, if somebody gets hurt. Paez, though, I think is the great equalizer when it comes to left-handed pitching. So if they bring in a lefty specialist or something like that throughout the game, then I think you'll see Paez maybe swap in on the outfield or something.
Well, game one, you want to see Lux come out because in his 7 plate appearances versus Dylan Cease, he's 3-for-5 with 2 RBIs and just 7 appearances. And Kike is 5-for-12, so he's done great against Cease as well.
Yeah.
So if Lux is going to have a good series, maybe a good solid game one versus Cease will, you know, give him that confidence to carry over. So look out for that in game one.
Our offense needs to come out
100%
in game one. Like that, we need to set the tone.
That is that's the key.
Out of the ball,
yeah. Really, because all the other so far in the playoffs, every team has pitched extremely well. It's really been who has had the timely hitting and, you know, to get the runs that are needed. There hasn't been a lot of scoring so far because, again, in the playoffs, you're facing everybody's best pitching. All the pitchers are extremely focused. So to me, what gives the Dodgers advantage over everybody who's left, including my Yankees, is the Dodgers lineup. They got to show up, yeah, and they'll get to the World Series.
Well, and history has shown, especially this season, the Padres don't let up. Like, they have runners on, and they're always in a position to score runs at all times. They don't go away. They don't fold.
They don't strike out a lot. They put the ball in play. Yeah. So and your defense got to be aware too, because they're not, you know, you're not going to be zoned out. Your pitchers are most likely not going to have 6, 7, 8 strikeouts. Your starters, they're going to the ball's coming your way. Be ready.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time you got to play some clean baseball.
Yeah,
not have those issues we've had throughout the season, which is making those bonehead plays. You just got to play smart baseball and make the routine plays. If the Dodgers can make the routine plays and play smart, they have a really good chance to take this series. I would hate to lose another series in the playoffs.
First round?
Not just to the first round, but to a division rivalry.
Agreed.
You lost it to the Padres. You won 1 out of 3. You won 1 out of a 5-game series, and then the next year you got swept by Arizona, and now you're up against the Padres again. There's no point in the Dodgers being number one in the West, keep winning the division, if you can't even get past the first round, and if you're getting beat by your division rivalries. It's going to be tough.
We lose this series, I think Roberts needs to go.
There's only so much you can blame on the manager.
Yeah.
And they just got to perform. He can't get in there and take the at bats for them. It's not like they're not listening to him. It's not like he lost the clubhouse.
Excellent point.
They all respect him. They all do what they have to do.
His job is to win titles.
At the end of the day, dude, he has the best record of a Dodger manager. Like, I believe in regular season, I think it's the best out of every.
The Dodgers let him go.
Have never been this dominant in the regular season. They've always been the scrappy team.
If the Dodgers let him go, he'll get a job in like 30 seconds.
My point being is...
Yankees.
All I'm saying, like, my point being is the regular season means squat, dude.
You're right.
You play to win the World
But I'm going to tell you right now...
World Series.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Ohtani goes... Let's say Ohtani is going to hit the entire season. Or not, I'm sorry, the entire first round for the Padres. Do I blame Dave Roberts because Ohtani didn't hit the baseball?
No, but Dave Roberts...
If Flaherty comes in and gets rocked the first inning, do I blame Roberts because he started Flaherty? No, let me say this, though. There have been times where I have been pissed off at Roberts when Roberts, I think, did make bonehead decisions. Putting Kershaw in the Nationals playoff game... was that 2021 or something like that? But there was no reason to put him in. Like, shouldn't even have touched him. Like, taking out starters when they should have been staying there longer. Like, yeah, there's been issues that I've had with Roberts, but if the Dodgers perform the way they did the last two seasons in the first round, I can't blame Roberts for that. You got to blame the players.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Those, even when you bring up those decisions, those are not even Roberts' decision. Managers these days their role is not what managers used to be. Now it's more about the clubhouse and handling the players.
Right.
Those pitching decisions, they're made hours before the game, collaboratively with the general manager and the analytical guys from Yale and Harvard and Princeton. It's not Roberts doing this in a vacuum like Connie freaking Mack. This is all decisions organizational. So you can't 100% blame the manager for making those kind of decisions because they're not his in a vacuum. What his job really is more for handling the players and the locker room and the media and things like that. The role of the manager has changed drastically from when we were growing up. So, you know, it's not double switches and stuff like that anymore.
It's less managing.
It's more managing personalities and egos, you know. It's not as much baseball X's and O's as it used to be. So even then, when you're blaming him for, you know, why did he put this bat, this guy to pinch hit or this pitcher to come in the seventh inning, it's because they have these. This is the lane we're going to use this pitcher at versus at this time in the batting order, and that's what they do. It's not, you know, anything other than that. Unfortunately, that's the analytical baseball that we're watching now. So giving the manager a lot of success, credit and blame is not really warranted because it's a collaborative thing. Does that make sense? Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
I understand what you're saying.
I got a nice hype video playing right now.
I understand what you're saying. In my opinion, we need to win and make it to the
I totally agree with that.
If that does not happen this year, somebody in management needs to be held accountable.
I hear you that, but here's the thing.
When you get rid of division and losing the first round the last 3 years isn't good enough.
But Mike, when they get rid of Roberts, do you know who they're going to replace him with? Roberts 2.0, a guy who's pretty much the same thing, that's going to be able to handle the locker room, the egos, and follow the freaking binder. You know what I mean? That's the baseball. The Dodgers are an extremely analytical team, and they have a way they do things. You know what I mean? And they're happy with the way Roberts executes those plans. And for the most part, he's been doing a tremendous job executing those plans, especially in the regular season where you guys win the division every year. You know, now the playoffs, some people say, people like to say it's a crapshoot, you know, because, you know, things happen. Like, look, Detroit freaking just took out the Astros. Happens sometimes.
All I'm alluding to is we've had too good of a baseball team to go out in the first round the last 3 years.
I know a lot
of people say we've won the division a lot of the 11 out of the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it 12 out of 13 now? 12,
whatever it is, 12 out of 13.
I don't know what it is.
I feel like we've assembled a good enough baseball team to be how the Yankees were in the 90s.
Baseball's different. I hear you. So then I think maybe if they do get eliminated early, which I don't think it's going to happen, maybe then you got to look at the type of players you bring
it's
in
possible.
For handling the playoffs. Because there's some players like, you know, the Phillies have that are, you know, like you like to say, they have swagger. They're gamers.
Clutch,
whatever. You can't quantify clutch, you know. So maybe you got to look at, okay, this guy might be great regular season, but he's what in football, Peyton Manning, right? They say he's a teeth clincher. Like he overthinks things, and come playoff time, you know, he doesn't perform, doesn't let muscle memory take over. Maybe you got to look at some of those players, like Robbie said. Like, if Mookie Betts is not, like, performing in the playoffs, is that Roberts or is that Mookie Betts? I'm just bringing his name
What I think we need to do, though, is maybe take a step back for a second, because this episode is for us to be getting, like, hyped for the playoffs right
Fair
now
enough.
And then looking at who we have, who we're expecting, who's going to do well against what pitcher matchups and blah, blah, blah. We're already, like, I feel like we fell down a rabbit hole of already expecting them to fail, which that is not what I'm thinking is going to happen.
No.
I'm thinking we need to be looking forward. Yeah, if they don't make it past this first round, then we will have the podcast to have all podcasts, and we can point blame and we can say what needed to happen, and we can go through the pitching issues and like who they should have gotten, who they shouldn't have gotten, yada, yada, whatever.
This is the year right now, they got to make a run at it. That's all.
I hear you on that.
Every year they got to make a run at it. The thing I could tell you though, Mike, and like, look, you can't have Shohei Ohtani take the team and put him on his back. You can't say the thing for Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman, any of these guys, because they only get to get up to bat maybe four, maybe five times a game. So it's hard to take, if they pitch around Ohtani and they're walking the entire time, it's hard for them to do that. It's not basketball where Jordan or Kobe or LeBron could take the team on their back and go all the way because they'll have possession of the ball the entire time. Football with like Joe Montana, like your guys, you know, quarterbacks and like your star players can't control it all the time in baseball.
Oh, I agree.
Like
it just
can't happen.
I know that.
So that's why
it's
a team game.
It might be Tommy Edmonds saving the game before you. You know, you never know.
I think to make a good run, you need half your team to be locked in, and I think Shohei's locked in right now.
I think Tommy Edman will be a gamer in the playoffs.
I mean, I hope so. I think Teoscar Hernandez is locked in. I think Shohei's locked in. I think Mookie was making strides to be locked in. Freddie Freeman, I think the time off is going to do him well as long as the ankle does well for him. I think he's going to find
hopefully
his groove.
Hopefully Muncy has a big series.
Muncy has a good big series. I mean, the pieces are here. Like, this lineup has not looked this long. This lineup was not this long last year or the year prior to that.
Yeah.
To go all the way down and say there's not a hole in the lineup. You look at this lineup right
Solid.
Now. There's not a hole in the lineup, and that includes Miguel Rojas because he did really good this season. So let's look at what's happening coming forward. Like let's look at the matchups right now. So we just kind of went over a little bit on how the Dodgers face up against Cease. How do the Padres face against Yamamoto? Who we got to be looking out for and hoping they don't have big games?
Okay,
on offense or pitching?
Max has got this one.
Yeah. So really, I mean, it's not a lot of players that are currently, expecting to play that had a lot of matchups against Yamamoto. But it's going to be the two guys you think of. It's going to be for Tatis. He had two hits against him in the season. And then Machado, hit a big home run. And, so those two guys are really who you're looking for. And maybe that's what they're thinking. Like they're saying, Yamamoto, for the rest of the guys who face, he hasn't faced Arise yet. He hasn't played Solano. He hasn't pitched against Higgy. And those three guys are now, in the Padres lineup that weren't there before. So those are the unknowns. But the other guys like Cronenworth, he's only got one hit on him.
Bogarts
had one hit. Jackson Merrill, zero hits on him.
You know what? I will say this right now.
And Profair, no hits either.
Finally found a Padre that I actually like. Jackson Merrill, I really like him.
Rookie of the year, probably.
Yeah, he's good. He looks like he has a lot of fun.
I like him too.
He doesn't seem like a jerk. You know what I mean? Like everybody else, when they put on that Padres uniform, like from top to the top of that lineup to the bottom of that lineup, they all just seem like jerks. But he just seems like a good baseball player.
Yeah,
that
you'd
want to go
too.
Hang out with afterwards. I just want to throw that in there. Yeah. I finally found a Padre that I don't hate.
I like the way he carries himself.
Kyle Higashioka is a cool dude.
Trust me,
everybody raves about how great a guy he is.
Who's that?
Kyle Higashioka, the catcher.
Yeah.
He's been hot recently, so you might see him quite a bit in this.
I also like Darvish
series.
Too. Like even when he was with the Dodgers, I liked him. I like Darvish, and also he's got some fun. He likes to tweet. I like it.
So there. On the surface, there's not a lot of guys who has a lot of great success against Yamamoto because it's only two appearances. But with those three guys, you don't know. And then, so really it's, if he can manage Tatis and Machado, I think he can manage through this lineup. He don't let those inflated numbers, because remember one of those games was his first game. There's a lot of hype into that. And then, that was a different Padres lineup even, then, right? So he could manage well. I'm expecting him to do well. I mean.
You know who makes me nervous in this lineup as a wild card?
Who?
Xander Bogarts. Or Bogarts. I don't know how to pronounce
it. Yeah, you said it perfectly the first time.
He was actually starting. He started kicking it in the last month.
He makes me nervous. I feel like he's a wild card.
He's a solid.
They can come up with some clutch hits. And
he's supposed to be part of their big three.
Yeah.
Remember that ridiculous press conference they had when they still had Soto and the four of them sat out there like, who do you guys want to play in the World Series?
He makes me nervous.
Dude, you got to make the playoffs first, man. Go sit down.
I feel like he's a gamer where Tatis and Machado, some of their machismo or arrogance gets the best of them at the plate.
And yeah, but they're extremely talented, bro.
And Machado, as much as I don't like Machado, that guy can hit, and so he has not been like he has a like he has he wants vengeance against the Dodgers for
that last.
And I get it.
I just think Xander.
He doesn't seem to miss the baseball when the Dodgers are pitching against him, especially in the playoffs. I feel like he's going to hit the ball every single time. Well, that's right to someone.
Remember that at bat he had against the Dodgers where they threw him like three straight sliders and he just swung the swing. Robbie, you and I were watching the highlight.
Yeah, but you know who was throwing that was a video game pitcher. His name is Trinan.
I'm just saying.
That ball goes like...
Yeah.
So none of the starters have a slider
like
he's got.
I just think Xander Bogaerts is a wild card that could hurt us.
No.
I mean, obviously...
I
hear about Tatis and Machado, but I'm worried about him a little bit too.
All right, let's look at game two really quick. So you got Darvish versus Flaherty. I actually, you know what? Everybody says that Darvish does really well against the Dodgers, but every single time I see it, he seems like every single time he pitches against the Dodgers have their windows to crack it open and like really like have big innings against him. And I think if the Dodgers get the Darvish early, they can have him on the ropes and have him out pretty darn quick.
Darvish is 5-5 with a 2.27 ERA, 104 strikeouts and 15 appearances against the Dodgers in his career.
What's his playoff record like?
5-5, but an ERA is 2.27.
Yeah, he does.
That's
really
crazy
well.
That it's like yeah. He's lost five times and an ERA 2.27.
Yeah.
That seems really weird, doesn't it?
It happens.
Has he pitched well in the playoffs, generally speaking?
He did with the Dodgers until they got to the, obviously. Cubs. No.
The Cubs series is where he got smoked when he was a Dodger.
He might have had a bad game against the Cubs. It was mostly.
He gave like five runs in the first inning.
Listen, there's a couple of guys that hit him pretty well. Tommy Edman, 6-16. Max Muncy, 7-35. Will Smith, 5-26. Freddie Freeman, 9-35. And Mookie Betts, 8-35. I mean, he's only faced Otani five times. Otani got one hit on him. But that's a lot of guys I just named off that have had some moniker success against Darvish. So, game two, he's a tough pitcher, but there's been success with some batters here.
I actually like that matchup for us, Flaherty versus Darvish. I think Flaherty's got the advantage.
He pitches backwards, by the way, Darvish. Darvish likes to do all of his breaking pitches to start off a hitter, and then he likes to end with a fastball.
Yeah.
I like that. Those are off strategy.
I like it too.
Yeah.
How about Flaherty?
Flaherty, he's 2-1 versus with a 4.45 ERA in six appearances versus the Padres. The guys that do well against him, we're looking at Profar, Tatis. Arise actually has three hits against him. Machado has a lot of walks, eight walks against Flaherty.
In a way that maybe that's weird. Smart.
You know what? That's excellent point. Like, I'm not giving you, he only has two hits, eight walks and three strikeouts against Flaherty. So he's careful. Because Flaherty's a smart pitcher. He's solid. I really like him. And the rest of the guys, they don't do much against him. So it's really that top of the lineup. If he can manage the first four batters, you know, that's any pitcher, right? The first four. But, you know, those are the guys who've had, like, good success against him.
Just looking at this, though, I can see why they flipped him.
Yeah.
Like, Profar, like, man. Profar is tough. He's having a really good year. Yeah. I think he has fallen off a little bit. It's not as hot as he was in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But like that guy's ego, if he gets a hit or two hits, somehow he just thinks he's the greatest player ever. And that just festers through that entire dugout. Okay. So here's an interesting matchup because if Buehler, I've been a firm believer in Buehler the last like four or five starts getting to the point. And I know Mike has as well. If Buehler gets to the point where I think he should be at, he could be winning game three for us here.
I'll tell you right now, I think this is one of the reasons I think the Dodgers are going to win this series is it's going to sound like a homer, but avoiding King and seeing King only one time, he has been phenomenal the last couple of games. And that game he pitched this week, 12 strikeouts, he was money. So that's, I guess, one benefit of them playing the wild card, that King doesn't start, you know, game one and game five. Having him only face
one,
you
time,
only have to,
yeah.
one time is huge, huge. Because I'm telling you, he's really turned it on. Phenomenal.
So he was 2-0 record.
Yeah, on 2.82 ERA in 5 appearances.
But here's the thing,
and
here's
one of those appearances with the Yankees as a reliever. So that kind of makes his ERA. You
but
know,
here's the thing, though. Thing. Ohtani is 6-for-14. Yes.
A lot of yeah.
3 home runs, 4 RBIs.
Yeah. Some
Mookie
of those
Betts 2-for-10, 2 home runs.
Yeah.
Like. This isn't really winning. Like, I can see maybe why they might want him to only pitch one game. Because look at Teoscar Hernandez, 6-for-20 against him with a home run, 3 RBIs, 22 plate appearances. Max Muncy, 2-for-10 with a home run. This isn't very good for him.
Well, a lot of those were when he was in the Yankees as a reliever. Remember, he was converted to a pitcher, a starter, late last season. The Yankees converted him from a reliever. So some of those were, a lot of those at-bats for Ohtani was Yankees-Angels kind of situation. So, and he was a young reliever. So, but now as a starter, that's why some of these numbers don't really... like jive. Like if you look, most of the damage was
jive?
Earlier. Yeah. Most of it, most of the damage these guys had against right. him was when he was younger and he was a reliever. This year as a starter, the numbers are really much better.
I can see just looking at this though, like if Gavin Lux hasn't turned it on, I can see this might be a game where he doesn't start. Kike probably comes in on this game. He's got 2-for-4 against him. Gavin Lux 0-for-9, never gotten a hit. But then having said that, Tommy Edmonds is also 0-for-4 and 4 play appearances. Smaller sample size,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I can see them maybe making some moves around here depending on who's... I mean, you see it all the time anyways in the playoffs. You only, you're going to get so many games to see if you're actually going to hit the ball or not. I think Gavin Lux is one of those guys on a short leash. If he's not hitting, if he's not performing, they're going to pull him and put someone else in.
Yeah, his last two starts versus the Dodgers, 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, 2 hit, and then the other start was 5 innings, 3 strikeouts, 3 hits. So he's really, you know, kind of turned it on from, you know, his first 2 starts in the beginning of the year
right.
versus the Dodgers, and then the rest of the stuff was with the Yankees as a reliever. So, you know, he's dangerous. You
right.
know, he has some filthy, filthy pitches.
Well, I think the key... the key to the Dodgers is going to be their bullpen and just the minimizing the damage with the starting pitching. If the Dodgers can figure out a way with their lineup, which they should be able to get to the Padres starting pitchers, because I feel like it's flipped where on paper the Padres starting pitchers look more impressive than the Dodgers starting pitching.
Mm-hmm. And because of injuries, right?
Right. But then the Dodgers, in my opinion, their bullpen looks more impressive than the Padres do. So you basically, there's two parts in a game. The first half of the game is the starting pitching, and the bottom half of the game is obviously the relief pitching. The Dodgers want to get to the starting pitchers, get them out as fast as possible to get to their bullpen. And I think that might be feel the same way about their own starting pitching, where I don't think you'll see any of the starting pitching go past 5. They probably won't even have their starting pitching go through the lineup 3 times if they could get away with it. I think Knack, we haven't talked about Knack, but I don't think Knack will get 3 times through the rotation. I think they'll go heavy bullpen with him in game 4 if he pitches game 4. They might do the same thing with Walker Buehler unless he's got it on. I don't think they'll let him go 3 times through, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Padres have a really good bullpen, but I think the Dodgers, those 3 guys we talked about in the last episode, couple episodes, really separate themselves.
I think with the starting pitching, I think one of the biggest keys that we need to look out for is the starting pitching can't give up more than 3 runs.
Yeah,
we
I think
need
that's
to keep,
key.
Keep it, get into our middle relief and bullpen with no more than 3 runs given up by the starting pitching. That gives us a shot. We get up. Get down 4, 5, 6 runs, or we give up 6 runs and it's a 6-4 game, 6-5 game. It's gonna be tough. So
no, you're right. I think starting pitching, that's a magic number. I think you're right.
3 runs. We need to keep them 3 runs and under to get into our bullpen, and we'll be all right.
Because their bullpen is stacked. I mean, it's solid. Jason Adams, Tanner Scott both have, you know, sub-2 ERAs. Adams is a 1.95 this year, a whip of a 0.86, and then Scott is a 1.75 ERA with a whip of 1.3. Those are pretty solid. And you throw in Suarez at 2.77 ERA and a 1.05 whip. Those 3 guys are formidable, but I still think the Dodgers can hit those guys. And the Dodgers 3 of Kopech, Phillips and what's the other guy?
With that nasty slider.
Trinan. When those guys are on,
Unhittable, man. Yeah. So the Dodgers get that advantage for sure in the bullpen.
You know who's going to be, I think, the MVP of the bullpen in this series is going to be Trinan.
Yeah, that slider,
and Kopech, that combo. And then
I just don't want them to overuse. Like, I don't want to see these guys go two innings. Like, it's one and done, move on to the next. And I hate it.
You don't
want to
see Trinan go two innings?
No. Because he's not as good the second inning. I don't want to see a guy. I also don't want to see a guy come in to finish off an inning and then come in the next inning because they're relief pitchers. They're not. I don't think that they're built to do that. And every single time they do it, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, same.
And it just seems like they're not as locked in. They're walking people. They're not hitting their spots when they need to. I think you just got to rely on your bullpen. You have your guys that are in there to rely on. Use them and then just go that.
That's
way.
When
go
it blows up in their face when they have to take them out like that, right?
Yeah.
You plan them through and whatever they don't have it because who's the other guys on there that you have?
I mean, dude, you said
Vessier, your lefty, right?
You got Vessier. You've got Bonda, like the two lefties right there. Daniel Hudson, when he's got enough rest, he's also like he was one of the high leverage relievers also before they got Kopech, but I think they overused Daniel
Kopech
Hudson
a lot.
He's older, so he was flailing a little bit, but now he's got plenty of rest. I think he's also another guy. You could put him in your four, and then with Vessier and Bonda, Brazier looked pretty good. I just want them to, I think they should just stay away from Joe Kelly. just stay away from him. Edgardo Henriquez, if they bring him in, he looks really good. It's a small sample size, though, but I think he looks really good. He's a power pitcher.
Would you be happy with him coming in at like the sixth inning?
Yeah, because
you
know
you leave
rookie,
the other
right?
guys.
I would love
seven,
it. Like,
eighth,
if,
and ninth.
If you've got a 3-run lead, you throw him in the sixth inning
Henriquez?
And have him shut him down. Yeah,
he's a rookie, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But if you got a lead, you have right. to have. I think you still have to have a decent lead, and you so that way you can so he can
not
falter
high
a little bit, not a high leverage. I don't think you can put him in there with a 1-run lead or something like that.
I don't think we can afford to do that.
Yeah, but if you got a 3-run lead, you put him in the sixth inning
against the
he
Padres?
Shuts it down.
The Padres are the type of team that if you give them an inch or some sort of bright spot, they could break it open.
So you don't trust them at all. You don't want to see them in the series.
I mean, if we're up by four or five runs, yeah, maybe. Gotcha. I think 3 runs is too close because the Padres are always going to put pressure and get runners on base. And Henriquez, like, he may falter if he gets 1 runner on. Then he walks the second guy. Like, I don't know if like that.
If you guys want to avoid
he's good
guys
though, don't
pitching
get me wrong. I just think the Padres are too talented of a team to put him in that position if it's a 2-run game or 3-run game.
Well, if you guys don't want your 3 big guys pitching 2 innings, there's going to be a spot in 5 and 6 inning. If your starter can't give you that full 6 inning, you got to get somebody who's going to be that 4th guy out of the bullpen to bridge you to the 3 killers
at
the back end.
Gosselin.
But I also think they're interchangeable. Mm. So, like, let's say the 6th inning, you've got Tatis, Machado, and Profar coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think then you might need to use Trinan right then.
Right then and there,
To shut that down. And then the bottom half of the lineup comes in. Then you throw in
Henriquez
or you throw in...
Who's that guy? That's what I'm asking. That's my question. Who's that guy who's going to give you that inning that's not Trinan, not Phillips, not Kopech?
Bonda,
who
Vessier.
Do you trust the most? Those two?
I would pick those two over Joe Kelly for sure.
What about Trinan?
Trinan. No, Trinan's your high.
No, like, I'm saying other than the 3 great guys you have, which is Phillips, Trinan, and Kopech, who's your guy
Daniel
out
Hudson.
Of the bullpen?
Daniel Hudson probably.
Daniel
the
Hudson
guy.
Is the fourth.
Uh-huh. I wish I could. I've never been a Vessier guy. I wish I could.
I know. I wish I was a really big Vessier guy. Also,
I don't trust him in big.
He's looked pretty darn good this year.
I just don't see him in. He's just
he's
a
too
wild,
jittery.
Yes.
It's like he's got like a bunch of caffeine pills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Took a bunch of diet pills before he went out there.
I don't have, he doesn't give me a warm and fuzzy feeling when he comes
in
the game.
No, you're not wrong. I feel the same way.
He's a great pitcher. He's just like 50-50. Like look, either he's on or he's off. He's off, he's giving up like big home runs. We're not talking like base hits. He gives up homers.
If I had to be honest, dude, like there's only 3 pitchers on here that I...
You
kind
trust.
Of feel close to feeling like completely confident with, and then even that's kind of a stretch. It's playoff baseball, man. Like I'm gonna be, like, look, Max and I were going to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, Max is. Hold on.
Yeah, I know.
Max.
Yes, sir.
first Dodger baseball game at Chavez Ravine.
Yes, sir.
It's game one of the Padres Dodgers. Let's go. We're going to show you New York.
No,
come on. I don't even know how to pronounce it or how I would say that.
I mean, you're going to say. I thought you were going to say, you know, you're trying to compare it to Yankee Stadium.
No. I've never been. But I will say, we're going to show you what Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine, is all about.
It's beautiful, so I'm sure
there's
nice.
More history in our stadium than yours.
They just built mine.
I know. That's why I said it.
Well,
no, listen, the other one is just across the street,
Max,
the old
one. You're going to a playoff game, right? You're gonna have a good time.
I'm actually really. Sure. I'm looking forward to see how you feel about that stadium going through it. Because
it's just different.
But it also doesn't feel like an old stadium anymore. They renovated it like a lot. And I remember going there when I was a kid, and the shared urinals with the ice in the
middle. Yeah.
Everyone just got their wingdings hanging out, and just like, we're just all here. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Like it just felt like a filthy place, and now it just.
Well,
I've been to games at Shea, the old Shea Stadium. That was a dump.
Well, so another thing that's funny is
I've been to some nasty stadiums.
I really
like
what they did with the vendors in the outfield area.
It's great.
They built it. I wish Max would have witnessed the stadium prior to that because it's such a great addition to the stadium. And then they got all the historical.
They got all the gold gloves out there.
And stuff like that.
It's pretty nice.
They've done a really good job updating the stadium from what it was before.
No,
I'm stoked for you. Game one. Let's go Dodgers.
Cool. Hopefully we can get there an hour before. We can walk it a little bit and so I can show you around.
You'd enjoy it. I hope you get there early, Max, to check out all the history that is the Dodgers.
That's cool. I mean, I don't have any ill will towards, you know, the Dodgers, really. So
they were born in your hometown,
that.
Man.
Yeah, but I don't know about all that. I do enjoy going to different stadiums and seeing how they're different. I respect pretty much all stadiums except for Fenway. First time I went to Fenway, I spit at it. And then I did not enjoy their little. I did. I spit right against the wall, you know, right outside before I got in. And then I don't know if you've ever been to Fenway. No. We won the game. The problem with the Fenway seats, they're freaking like from 1902 when people talked funny. It's like they're so small. And anyway, but it's intimate. It's like you're on top of everything.
Yeah, but that's cool. Did you wear Yankee gear?
Yeah, people are not as bad as you think in over there.
I want to go to the Philly.
Now that one, so you wear your crap, they let you hear it. Like people think Boston and New York are horrendous. They have their moments, but Philly, that's where they are really. They're pretty mean out there.
So a couple years ago, I was working on the East Coast in Washington D.C. Mm-hmm. and the Dodgers were on their East Coast stretch. They were playing Philadelphia, Boston, I think New York, and somewhere else.
Yeah.
And at the time, I got an opportunity to watch. It was the year the Nationals went to the World Series. I got a chance to watch the Nationals play at play the Orioles.
Yeah.
And I was talking
Camden Yards?
Yeah, Camden Yards. Yeah. I went and saw a game at Camden Yards. Sorry, just brain fart. But I was talking to a guy outside how I was from California or LA, and he's like, "You're from LA? What are you doing out here?" And I said, "Well, I'm thinking about taking the train up to watch the Philly Dodger game and wearing my Dodger stuff." He's all, "You can't go there and wear Dodger gear. You know what you're getting into?"
Yeah,
Philly's rough. And I looked at him like, dude, it's sports, man. Like, what's the big deal? Like, I wouldn't recommend it. In hindsight, I don't know when I'll go back to the East Coast again. I wish I would have went to that game just because.
Yeah, Philly, they're intense, man.
But going back to what you mentioned, going to different stadiums and different experiences as a sports fan, I love it. But back to being a sports fan and different experiences, I really hope you truly enjoy
your
experience at Chavez Ravine tomorrow.
For sure.
All right.
You got a great host in Robbie.
On that note, going off the stats, see how the Dodgers play against Yamamoto. I'm sorry, rephrase that. How the Dodgers have done against Cease. Who are we expecting to have a big game tomorrow? Who's our white whale? Who's our champion?
Teoscar.
You think Teoscar?
Teoscar's
1-for-11 against Dylan Cease. That's who you picked, Tom? You're like my kid. You didn't look at the notes before you took the test? Holy shit.
Maybe it's a coming out party.
You guys should all know by now, I don't believe in analytics and I don't follow them.
Yeah.
I believe in, hey, it's playoff. Like you know, people.
No, you're right. You're right.
Football sports, right? Yeah. Like, a lot of people shy away from the bright lights of playoffs baseball and they become a shell, a cocoon, a nervous shirt. I think Teoscar's got that swag we need. He's going to come out balling out. I don't care what he's done over the course of the season.
I'm going to give you three guys.
Hold on. I got one more. Tommy Edman. Those are my choices.
I like that one.
I'm going to give you three guys. I am going to pick Teoscar also, not because of looking at his stats, just because I feel like Teoscar is a big game player.
I agree.
And I think he's going to do something.
Same.
I'm going to go off Shohei because I think Shohei has been itching for this moment.
Yep.
And already he has success against Cease going 4-15. The only thing I can think
of. Two home runs, buddy.
That they might pitch around him. So that all it's going to do is put him on the bases. Whether he's going to be stealing bases or not in the playoffs, we'll find out.
Why not?
Hey, who knows? My other guy, I think it's Max Muncy as well. I think Max Muncy is going to have a big game. I have a feel. I'm going to call this. I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like Muncy's going to have two homers this game.
Ooh, two.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
I really hope that he hits those two home runs. Then we can come back here tomorrow night and we can cut up that clip and we can throw it out there for everyone that I called it. But I feel like Muncy's going to have two homers. That's my big three. Max, who do you got?
I like Edmund, Lux, and Shohei. That's good.
Lux. Okay. Lux, yeah. 3 for 5. He was catching fire towards the end, and he had success against Cease. Yeah.
You know who needs to get? I'll say there's two guys that I feel need to come in hot.
Will Smith is one guy who should be really. He needs to come in hot. He needs to get some confidence. That's my guy.
He's 1 for 9 versus Cease.
These two guys, I think, need to be on fire throughout the playoffs. And I think it needs to be Mookie Betts.
Yep. Freeman.
Freeman for sure, but Mookie Betts, and I would say Gavin Lux, just like elite level MVP style hitting.
Yeah.
I think if the two of them come out like, you know, 2 for 3, 2 RBIs, like if those two guys come out hot, that they're going to be a problem throughout the playoffs. But I like to see them like MVP caliber stuff.
I'm so nervous, but so excited for tomorrow.
Playoff baseball, baby.
Let's do it.
Number one seed. Let's go, Dodgers.
That's going to do it for this episode of Talkin' Dodgers. If you've listened this long, you must be a fan. Please go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/RotYourBrainMedia. Help us create new content. All of your contributions go to a good cause. It goes to coffee, rent, electricity, and good vibes. Please go check out all of our social media content on X/Twitter. Instagram,
Facebook,
you know,
YouTube.
Max is killing it. Wherever we're at.
Check out our reels that are coming out. They're popping.
Yeah, they're popping.
Hey, are we going to call a series here or no?
Oh, for sure. We're taking our predictions.
It's 5-game series, right? I'm looking dumb right here.
You know what I'm going to do?
I know. I got mine ready.
I got mine. You guys
ready?
I'm going to go. You want me to go first?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm calling sweep.
Ooh,
sweep. I was going to call sweep too.
I'm going 4.
You're going 4?
Yeah.
For the Dodgers, right?
100%.
I'm calling sweep for the Dodgers in case I didn't say it's clear. I think the Dodgers, I think they're taking this series personal. I think we're going to see them have fire. I think, like, we keep saying the fire, the swag, whatever, but I would not be surprised if the Dodgers take it so personal that we might see some benches cleared. We're going to see We're going to see some passion in this one. I get, like, they just got to go to town. They got to prove their point. Now, who's going to lead the charge out of these guys? Let me see. I don't see it being Ohtani or Betts or Freeman or Teoscar Hernandez or Muncy or Will Smith or Lux. Maybe Lux. Lux is a little bit of a spitfire.
Joe Kelly.
Give that guy something to do. Put your jacket on, run out there, and start some trouble. I'm not saying start a fight, but get some swag out there.
You know what? Maybe we have bring in Kelly and have him beat Tatis and Machado and start a fight and get him suspended.
Let's not go that far. All right. Thank you guys so much. We will catch you next time
on Talkin' Dodgers.